This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, we remember Sligo GAA's cycling referee and goalkeeper, John Lee, who has passed away this week. Reflections too on last night's pulsating Ulster Under-20 football final from Danny O'Donnell and Martin McHugh. Zoe Lee Nicholson on the joys of wheel-to-wheel circuit racing at Mondello Park. And the new tag rugby season returns to Sligo. Sarah Mullen is recruiting new players and she's persuasive. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and we're on 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or text if you'd like to get in touch. Sport at oceanfm.ie is the email address and you'll find us on Twitter at Ocean FM Sport. Also coming up, Ballyshannon's Corey Sheridan talks to Finn Dugan about his recent call-up to the Northern Ireland Under-17 International Soccer Squad. Well, the removal has been taking place this evening in Sligo of former club and county referee John Lee, who died earlier this week at the age of 88. A true character of Sligo Gaelic Games, he was a former county goalkeeper and played for his county in a Connacht final in the 1950s. He refereed at club and county level for many years and would often cycle to the match venue. John Layden is president of Sligo GAA and a former county board chairman. He would also have been on the same refereeing beat as John in Sligo when both were the men in the middle. John Layden has been sharing some of his own John Lee memories.
We were all saddened to learn of the departure of John to a better place and beholds me as Uachtarán Coiste Conda. To extend our condolences to his wife Molly and daughters Anya, Marie, Alva and Maeve, and of course the extended Lee family and all who knew him. John was a very reliable goalkeeper, a competent referee and very good in the boardroom too in terms of administration. He was a member of the North Divisional Board for decades and the Markovics Park Committee since the official opening in 1955. He had a strange beginning as goalkeeper of Sligo, as he informed me some years ago when we produced the history of the Markovics Park. His dad was on the Markovics Park Committee and he went along to the game and little did he realise that due to some mishap with the goalkeeper that was picked to do duty, John ended up in goals playing for Sligo that day against Mayo. And thereafter he played in the Connacht Championship that year and for the latter half of the 50s. And he would be regarded as a more than useful goalkeeper, saving penalties and quite agile in the small square. As regards a referee, to me and to many hundreds of people around the county and beyond, he would be better known as a most competent inter-county and club referee, and I think he would have operated for more than 50 years, and he would be synonymous with that little bicycle that he cycled frequently to matches to and from, irrespective of where the venue was. And at that time in the 60s and late 50s, North Divisional Board was very active in the promotion of Gaelic football, particularly at junior level, and there was anything up to 10 teams in the division. So John had a busy schedule attending to referee matches here, there and everywhere. And I would say that he refereed 5 to 6 occasions on a weekly basis. And it was not uncommon for him to referee twice the one day. He might officiate at a match in 2 or 3 o'clock and in the afternoon of a Sunday and a tournament game that evening. So he was always available and most reliable. He would engage with players and tell them what he thought when he'd blow the faddock and get on with his business of refereeing. He had a unique style, out of front footed and tops of the toes and pointing in the direction of where a free would be going. And look at everybody, respect him. You know, you give respect and you get respect. And John just is a legend of the game and would be remembered as such.
I'm glad you mentioned the bicycle, John, because he cycled that bike to so many places for GAA matches, whether going as a spectator or to referee a game. I'm not sure if it was the best mode of transport for a referee to make a quick getaway at the end of a match, but he certainly was a very dedicated Sligo GAA supporter, wasn't he?
He was. He was a very decent type of man. Now, I heard of an incident after a tournament game one evening in Drumahair. Fellas met off after each other with paling posts, but John wasn't in that category. John would cycle to venues maybe in Rotherau or St. Mary's or out in Calera. And look, at he was hugely respected. But my days in St. Mary's, he was there on a weekly basis, twice, three times a week, refereeing, particularly underage games. And he would arrive on the bicycle punctually and depart quite quickly afterwards. Not that there was anybody looking for him or anything like that, because he was held in high esteem by players and officials. And as I said earlier, he would always explain his situation for giving a free if that needed to be done.
And he achieved a good level. I read that he refereed a Railway Cup final in 1978, and you mentioned his playing days as a goalkeeper with Sligo in the 1950s. That included playing for Sligo in a Connacht final.
Yes, 1956, Markovic Park hosted the Connacht final against against Galway, and at that time Galway were invincible, and I mean they had the trio of Purcell, Stockwell, and Matty McDonagh, and we didn't favour too well on that particular day, but qualifying for a Connacht final, and John, as I say, was a competent and reliable goalkeeper, and he played for the second half of the 50s with Sligo. He succeeded Tommy Joe Murphy, and I think Noel Mullaney might have succeeded him when his playing days were over. But he did referee a number of inter-county matches, Connacht Championship matches, and a Railway Cup final. So he is an excellent CV for anyone who wants to read it.
Sligo GAA Uachtaráin John Leyden on the late John Lee. Well, John refereed plenty of club under 21 matches in his day. The under 20 provincial championships reached their conclusion in three counties on Wednesday night: Louth winning Leinster, Mayo beating Roscommon in Connacht, and at Owen Beg, a real ding dong battle between reigning provincial and All Ireland champions Tyrone and Donegal in the Ulster decider. It took extra time in the end to separate the teams. Danny O'Donnell and Martin McHugh were on commentary duty for Ocean FM Sport. Here's how they described the closing stages of the game.
Can they kick a score? I look at the watch. Tells me 6 minutes. Donegal attacking again, holding on to the possession. Sean Martin. Ken Muldoon's gone back on. There was a mistake, I would say. It's gone out to Mark McDavid. Mark McDavid gives back to Max Campbell. Max Campbell's played well since he came back, and he got the re-break to the man that kicked a great score there a minute ago, Shane Callan. Shane Callan gives it to Mulholland. Dylan Mulholland. It's worked in, and there's a kick in. Is it short? It is into the goalie's hands. Shane Callan from this side of the field kicked it in short, but he's won it back again. He brilliantly won it back. Brilliant play by Shane Callan, and it's worked across. Here's Conor McGinty. It's Conor McGinty. He's fouled, and the referee doesn't give him the
play. Oh, that's a bad call there, Martin. That's a bad call.
That's, I don't know. I don't like giving out about a referee. Donegal have breached now. And he's playing on. The referee has lost the plot. He doesn't know what's happening. And now Donegal have gone two. And he's given a free in. Is he inside the square? It's Callum McRae.
And you're right, Martin. The referee has lost.
He's lost.
He does not know what has happened.
The linesman, everybody. Yeah, the ball went up the field, and it was, I think it was Max Campbell won the ball, but definitely Donegal had only two players back. They now have three, and he's lost it. He done, because Donegal had the same incident early on. And this is crazy stuff here. Just let the listeners know, it's completely lost. Everybody has lost themselves. What decision is he going to come with here, Danny?
Well, I didn't see that. breach, Martin. I was watching the ball on the other end, but we're hearing here that Donegal, there was a breach. Now, Kevin Muldoon's coming back into the game for McDevitt. Now, do Donegal have a free in here or not? Because I'm not sure what the referee's doing. He's standing in the middle of the field on his own.
Given the free in to Donegal. And it definitely was a free, you can tell McCrae, but definitely what happened. The ball came up the field. Funder already broke.
Won it, yeah.
He won it, but he went across the line with the ball. He carried it. So he breached. There was only two up.
Okay.
But Tyrone had breached earlier, and we've seen it here. And the referee didn't give it.
Well, we've seen the referee balance things out. One bad call, and then balance out another bad call. And that's bad refereeing. You've got to referee the game to see it.
Shane Callan went for a point. He dropped it short, but he won the ball and was kicked out brilliantly. And we're going to get David Monin. Looks like he's coming on here again down below us. This is crazy. The ball
here
is
go.
Going
one
over
point
the bar.
Game.
Shane Callan puts the ball over the bar. And it's now 2:14 to 1:18. And I look at the watch. 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, Monin's back in.
Can we win this kick out? Can we win this? Conor McGinty coming off.
Max Campbell's picking up Big O'Neill in the middle of the field on this kick out.
Here we go. Going to make them go long. Danny, make them go long.
We
need to get our hands on it, Danny. There's 1 minute left. My watch is telling me we're too loud here even. It's out the side of the field. It looks like it could go out over the line. It's gone out over the line.
Going to go into the campbell now. Just the score.
Are we looking at penalties? Are we looking at penalties? Here we go. Funder already has it. He gives it to Max Campbell. Donegal have breached again. And the referee has called it this time. And they've reached him, the referee's called it. So that's a big call. Here we go. The Tyrone management got it right, and I don't know, that's the rules. It's a wild way to lose this game, and it looks like Donegal are going to lose this game. Well, ahead of that breach, he didn't call the other two breaches, he called that one.
Yeah.
Tyrone management were mad.
Look, Niall
Prendeville just got up the field,
he didn't realise, he did breach, but he had no influence on the game, Martin. He was out underneath here on the sideline, the ball was moved inside. The linesman, because of the reaction of the Tyrone supporters on Tyrone bench, he signalled to the referee has moved the ball up, and you're right. I mean, the game, what was it? It's going back out to a 2-point game. They could take a 2-pointer here if they wanted to, but they're not going to.
No, they're not going to take a 2-pointer. He's going to kick it over the bar.
Yeah, but look, it's.
And we've 10 minutes on the clock. The 10 minutes are up on the clock. And this will put a 2-pointer in it. And there's 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
So
yeah.
We have time for a 2-pointer.
Yeah.
This is going to be some fun. Can we get the 2-pointer? It's 2:14 to 1:19. And there's 2 minutes. Danny, we need possession of the ball in this kick out.
Yeah,
2 points down.
Tyrone are pushing up on the kick out. They're not going to give it easy to Donegal.
They got it. They have it.
Has it. So here we go. This is our last chance. A 2-pointer or a goal to win it.
Cal O'Gallagher has it. Gallagher, to give him his right name. Cal Rua gives it to Funberorty. Funberorty gives it to Callum McRae. Here we go.
If Donegal send men inside, Tyrone will go in along with us and may free up the space for the 2-pointer. So
Tyrone are really pushing up hard and fouling. Here goes.
Go.
Don't breach again, Donegal. Please don't breach again. Here goes Callum. They're coming. Max Campbell gives it to Sean Martin. Sean Martin, 11 minutes, 1 minute left in the watch. Here goes Shane Callan, a good man for a 2-pointer. Taking two solos. Even you get a foul, it's paid inside. Here we go. Can we get a... And the keeper saves it from Callum McRae. Brilliant save by the goalie, Colin McGill.
Donegal have it back.
Can they have the ball back, Donegal? And they still have it. They're going to try to work a 2-pointer. Here
it's on for a small for Muldoon, possibly.
Given across to Muldoon. What a save. Here goes Muldoon. What a save by the goalkeeper. You have to give him credit. He's Conan McGarvey. Didn't expect to play. He hasn't played all year. The ball's been worked out.
Oh.
There's 30 seconds left. Play across the field. Sean Martin plays across the far side. Can we get it? Shane Callan. Back inside. Work back across again. Here goes. And we're going forward. It's a big high kick in, but it's not going to make it. But is it held inside? No. Tyrone dive on the ball. And they still have it. And Tyrone come out with the ball. And the referee is blowing the full-time whistle. Oh, that's scenes of the light for Tyrone. Just the time is up. But I don't know, looking at Danny, congratulations to Tyrone. They put in some effort, Donegal. And just that stage, a couple of 2-pointers at the start of the extra time really cost them. And interesting, the team you beat during the year, you know, we beat them in the round robin area, but then they come back there, got there. It could have gone anyway.
Yeah,
probably penalties. We don't want to see penalties.
Yeah.
Could have been fair. But end up, that game was won on a breach.
Yeah.
And the referee didn't call two before that.
Yeah.
And that's what won the game for them, because Donegal couldn't go for a 2-pointer.
Yeah. And the significant thing is the end. Conor
McCall had to go for a goal.
He went for the goal.
He could have put it over the bar.
Exactly.
He would have put it over the bar.
And putting a goal to draw and taking it to penalties. But the breach, look, it's a horrible rule. We all know that. But look, Donegal didn't get over the line tonight, but nobody leaving here tonight, nobody watching, nobody listening, can give out about their effort, what they gave for the jersey. That game was slipping away a couple of times, and they battled back. And that last effort, Conor McCall, he's a brave player. He went for the goal, he went for glory, went to win it, and the keeper pulled off a brilliant save. But the breach was the key moment in extra time. He got to own the 2 points up. Donegal then had to chase the goal.
Yeah, it's a terrible way, Danny, to end up losing the game. You know, look at, maybe Tyrone were slightly the better side, it's hard to say, but, you know, they had a couple of very big quality players, and McCullough and McElhone especially. And I think that looking at it, like, it was Tyrone 119, Donegal 214. A 2.1 for Tyrone here, and a very, very disappointing for Donegal. We still haven't won another 20, but with these lads, and anybody listening to Donegal people can be very proud of these. A lot of them will play senior inter-county football in the next couple of years, and probably we keep it together for next year, maybe we'll get a wee bit of luck. Sometimes it comes down to a wee bit of luck and everything else, and you know, it's wild that a breach has cost us, you know, could have went to penalties and everything else, that really nearly cost us. But I feel so sorry for the Donegal players and all, but what an effort. Kevin Muldoon was probably a better player, but there were Calru Gallagher scored an unbelievable goal, Senan Carr as well. But I just think, you know, you couldn't, looking at, they give us everything, they can be very proud, the people can be very proud of their clubs and their parents, yeah, and everything else, and they couldn't have asked for any more from them. I'm so disappointed to lose it. Went to extra time again, and you'll probably see this Tyrone team going on to 1-0 Ireland, Danny.
Yeah, it's very possible because of those couple of star players, and Donegal did play the way they played to kind of keep the game nice and compact and nice and tight. But look, all credit to Tyrone, they were the better team, slightly better team maybe on the night, but it was 50-50 at the end of the day. Donegal will be disappointed, but they're a young team, as I said at the beginning. There'll no consolation to them tonight, but they will come back from this. Gary's my own club man, the manager there. He'll get them together in the next day or two and start planning again for next year, I'm pretty sure. So look, brilliant effort from Donegal. Cruel way to end, cruel way to lose it, but that's Gaelic football. And look, we had a poor first half, but everything after that was exciting. Extra time was really exciting, and just Tyrone pipped it on the final whistle.
Danny O'Donnell and Martin McHugh at Owen Beg last night. Tyrone the winners in the end by 2 points, 119 to 214. The All-Ireland Under-20 semi-final pairings are Tyrone against Kerry, Mayo play Louth. A change of pace now as we talk motorsport for the next few moments. Zoe Lee Nicholson from North Sligo is a final year student in cybersecurity at ATU Sligo. She's also a sports scholarship student there, and her speciality is wheel-to-wheel racing. Today on Ocean FM's Afternoon Delight, which came live from ATU Sligo's Engineering and Technology Fair, she gave Francie Boylan the lowdown on wheel-to-wheel racing. And rallying, it ain't.
It's not against the clock, it's wheel to wheel, it's the first person across the line, so it's a little bit different than what we know, especially in the northwest of Ireland. We'd be really into the rally racing, but yeah, wheel to wheel, so first person across the line, everybody's fighting for the same spot in the corner.
Like, are they all minis, or what, or is it different classes?
So the class I'm going into is Future Classics. Okay. There's a strong mini field in it, just because they're a really available car, and there's a lot of stuff that you can get and do to them. But there's Civics in it, there's Integras in it, there is some Celicas in there, there's RX-7. So everything and anything can be on the track at the one time, and they put you into different classes based on your times, and then it's the first person across the line.
And are the cars altered in any way then?
Yeah, you can, like that, there's no rules at all. There's no lower weight limit, which obviously being a girl and being a lot smaller than the rest of the people racing, it gives me a little bit of an advantage. But you can do whatever you want to the car to make it quicker. You just can't break your barrier time, which is a little bit confusing at first. But there's so many things that you can do the car to make it more to what you like to drive or your style of driving. But yeah.
What kind of miles are you getting up to then?
I don't like to look at my speedo, but the last time I did check a speedometer, I was racing in Kyrgyzstan, and it was well over 110 mile an hour, and I just decided I wasn't going to look at it again.
Where's it? Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan, which is just outside of Belfast, so...
Oh, I thought you said Kyrgyzstan. That was like, as in like one of the Afghanistan's places, wasn't it?
No, I don't think the mini would make it that far.
Jesus, it's a well-traveled sport. But now, tell me what ATU were. And you have the mini here, a green mini, and ATU is on the side of it. So tell me what ATU do for you.
Yeah, so I'm a sports scholar here in ATU, so they've obviously there's a monetary contribution that they do give to me. There's also access to the gym here in the Knocknarea Arena. So they represent lots of different sports. There's GAA people, there's a couple of people that do water polo, there's myself with motorsport, there's swimmers, there's people that do karate. There's a lot of different sports that they give scholarships to. So if somebody's thinking of studying in ATU, or they do study in ATU and they do partake in a sport, definitely look into it, because you never know, they will support you on that.
Excellent. By the way, how long are you track wheel-to-wheel racing?
I started off in go-karts when I was 12. I'm not going to tell you what age I am now, but it's a long time.
Yeah.
I've been on and off racing since I was 12. So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And is it the adrenaline and the is that what it is essentially?
Definitely. I don't think you can replicate the feeling of the wheels. It's adrenaline junkie. I definitely think I am a bit of one.
Do you have Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, or people want to find out more a little bit about this?
Yeah, I have TikTok and Instagram. It's miniac.zoe, so miniac.zoe. You'll find me there. I'll be posting TikToks and stuff about racing.
Excellent. Okay, listen, and what's the plan then? Obviously, please God, you'll graduate out of here because you're in your fourth and final year in cybersecurity and networking, and then what's the plan?
Yeah, so I'm going to work for Coffee Construction in June, hopefully. And
do they know it yet?
Oh, they do, they do. Yeah. I did my work placement as part of my college course there last year, and get some more racing. We'll be going to the Vision Sports Ireland Open Day in July to work with people with visual impairments. So we'll bring in the car to that. And I would just like to shout out my sponsors before I go. So obviously ATU, and I've got Schiller and Schiller Auctioneers. We have MJF Engines. We've got Kirby Car Dismantlers. And for Free Spirit Vintage, thanks so much for your support as well.
Okay, because I would assume it's not that relatively cheap of a sport.
No, it's not.
I think so.
I definitely am blessed that my father is just as much into it as I am.
Great.
Much to my mother's dismay, she's looking at me here.
I see Mammy shaking the head, all right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so my dad raced minis back in the day, the classic ones, so I definitely think it is in the blood.
ATU Sligo's sports scholarship student, Zoe Lee Nicholson. She was talking today to Francie Boylan. When we come back, we'll be talking tag rugby in Sligo with Sarah Mullen. Welcome back, and the crack is back. A new season of tag rugby in Sligo begins later this month at the Summerhill College Astropitch. Organisers are making a fresh appeal for new players to give the sport a try. Sarah Mullen is already a player and a member of the organising team. She's been telling Ocean FM Sport about her own path into the sport.
So when I came back from Canada in 2016, I was kind of a bit lost, and my sister convinced me to join tag rugby in 2017. And I went along, complete novice, never played the sport before, no idea what I was doing. She put me on this team, and then she didn't show up the day I showed up. And I was so terrified, but the lads were so lovely. They broke it down, they went through every bit, they did everything in slow motion just to show me what to do. And it was pretty much from then I got hooked. You know, I started going along to the events, to the, you know, tag nights out, to also the tag season that we had, and I just got so involved. Like, it was such a good sport where you didn't have to have the like highest level of fitness, and it was just so much fun. Okay.
So you came into this after returning home from overseas. Were you sporty? Like, had you played rugby before?
No, I'd never played rugby. I'd stopped playing any sports after school, secondary school, so I hadn't really played any sports in years. I played team sports when I was in school, so I liked team sports, but I'd never played anything kind of, you know, with adults in a sense. I'd only ever played it as a child, so it was a very different experience.
So what's the attraction of tag rugby in your mind?
So I loved it because I wasn't the fittest person coming into it. I'm still not the fittest person now, but there's such enjoyment in just participating. You know, you're part of a team, you learn the rules, it's non-contact. So it's not, you're not kind of worried about being, you know, run down by anybody or anything like that. And it's about just engaging with people in the local area, making new friends. You know, I really like the idea that it really promotes women in sport. So because there's a mandated three women have to be on the team, or have to be a play in at a time and there can only be four men at a time. It just makes sure that there's women included at all times.
Yeah, let's remind us of the rules of tag rugby. It's seven-a-side rugby. It's mixed women and men. There must be a minimum of three women on each team and a maximum of four men on each team. And that's, they're two important provisos.
Yeah, so the team itself can consist of like more players that are substitutes, but playing at one time, there has to be a maximum of four men and only and three women. You can have more women. We have some teams that are striving to have women only teams. You know, women, when they score a try, it works out as more. You get 3 points versus the men only get 1 point. So it's really about promoting women to come and enjoy this sort of like social sport that we like to do.
What's the breakdown like at the moment, would you say, gender wise?
There is a really good mix. We do find teams know they need women, so they involve women within it. You'll often get guys recruiting girls that maybe don't know how to play and they're like, my friends are coming along because we've told them we need girls to play. And then the girls come along and they find it really enjoyable and the next thing they're there next season ready to go again.
How competitive does it get?
So it does branch. We have people who've been doing it for years and they are very competitive. They know the drills, they know how to play, they know how to switch it around. And then you have novices that come in that are complete beginners. They don't have a clue how to play. And they're in the very kind of low, they're in the slightly lesser league. It's not lesser league. It's, you know, the lower division as such. And those teams, we want them to just build their skills, to strive to get it, you know, get competitive against the other teams. But we understand not everybody is competitive. So it's just finding that nice balance.
So it's kind of a summer sport, I think it's fair to say. You're getting ready to go here in Sligo on Summerhill College's beautiful new Astro Pitch, which is the new home for Sligo Tag Rugby.
Yes, yes. So we started there last year. It's a beautiful AstroTurf. There are a couple of rules. We have to make sure everybody has their Astro boots. We give, you know, guidelines on people trying to get Astro boots or anything like that are starting new. But it's a beautiful spot. If the sun is shining, it's a stunning day up there. There's good parking spaces, so it's a good place for everybody to come along.
If it's windy, you're going to feel it too.
Don't talk about the wind. We did find windy challenges last year. We tried to get a gazebo. It failed miserably. So we've accepted that and moved on. If people are prepared, it's not too bad. But, you know, we're not there for long. Once you're running around, you don't feel the wind.
It's all part of the wonderful Irish summer.
Exactly.
So talk me through the dates when you're starting up. And you are recruiting for new players, new teams.
Yeah, we're definitely recruiting new players, new teams. The season itself is going to run from May 22nd. So it's a Thursday. It runs every Thursday with the exception of the very last night. It's going to be on July the 11th, which is a Friday. So we like to have the Friday just so we can have a kind of social night that night after finals, like that everybody can attend. We run the season then, pre-season, we normally have what we call a try-a-tag. So that's going to run on May the 15th. It's just an opportunity for people maybe who are wanting to start out, don't really know what to do, they can come along. In the meantime, they can contact us via the website and put an inquiry in. We can get them involved, what's called off-season tag. There are people who run it throughout the season, but it's just very much off-season done in a smaller group. But we do offer this kind of try a tag before the season starts, just so more people can get involved and see what it's about.
And to remind people listening, you don't have to have a Katie Taylor or Nicole Fowley level of fitness to play tag rugby.
Absolutely not. All you've got to want to do is run a bit. And even at that, you could run for 5 minutes, be subbed off and be happy out. I've often done it myself, come along, run a lot, felt I've done my job, come off the pitch. You know, it's really about just the team atmosphere and doing your part as much as you can, as much as your fitness will allow. We know that there's a lot of people maybe who aren't as fit or maybe trying to get fitter. And this is a great way to do that.
And you're having this try a tag day in May. Talk to us about that and what that will entail.
So it will be in Summerhill. It'll still be in the area, so you'll get to see what the pitch is like and outline the pitch. We normally have different levels there. So we have people who are kind of more experienced, and the idea is we will try and teach some of the new people how to play. We'll do demonstrations. We'll break down the match. The referees will be there. Some of the new, you know, we're always looking for new referees as well if there's anybody interested. But we'll have referees there to break down how it's played and to break down some of the rules.
Okay, very good. So the dates, just to go through them again, the try-a-try is May the 15th, is that right?
Yeah, so the try-a-tag will be May the 15th. We are hoping to run a women's only try-a-tag prior to that. The date for that has yet to be set. So when we have a confirmed date, you can check out our socials. We'll share it on that. The reason for a women's only, it'll be run by women. We're encouraging women to come along. It's a sport where we need more women involved in it. And often I find women are the people who don't know how to play. Like myself, when I started, if you've never played rugby, you don't understand the concept. And then you come in and there's a load of lads that know how to play rugby and are like, no, no, just throw the ball back there. It's much easier if I think we can have a time to just break that down for women ourselves.
And when the actual season begins then, is it weekly matches from the end of May?
Yeah, so the matches will run, the first one will be the 22nd and then it'll be the following Thursday and so on throughout that whole, until we get to the 11th of July. Okay, so there's 8 weeks in total.
Okay, so that's a Thursday night, generally speaking, is it?
It's Thursday night. Match times typically will start around 6:30, 7:30. We'll define that closer to the time once we know how many teams we have. And there's normally a first match, a first set of matches and a second set of matches. So you'll be able to see where you're playing.
Yeah. And you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, the social aspect of tag rugby is central to everything that you do. And I know you, as the organising committee, you want to have satellite social events around the actual playing of tag rugby. And you're hoping the local business community might help out there.
Yeah, definitely. We have a couple of people who've already been involved through the years, local businesses that have offered their bars and clubs, and we've been able to use them spaces to create social events. We fully intend to do it again this year. You know, if you keep an eye on our socials, we'll get the exact dates, but we're hoping to have like a table quiz. Our table quiz is amazing. I do it. I can say it's amazing. We do have the best crack at it. We are hoping to have like a pool and darts night, which we hosted last year, which went down really well. It was like a tournament, but it was just so much fun. And it's just about creating that element outside of tag where people can actually like mingle, make new friends and just engage with Sligo and what Sligo has to offer.
That's Sarah Mullen from Sligo Tag Rugby. And the new tag season begins on the 22nd of this month. It will run until July the 11th. For more info and to register your interest, see sligotag.com. Well, a few weeks ago, Ocean FM hosted a week-long media week for transition year students in the region. And among those taking part was Coloshta Columkill student Finn Dugan, who has a keen interest in sport. And among the work he produced during the week was an interview with Finn Harps Academy soccer player and Ballyshannon native Corey Sheridan, who was recently called into the Northern Ireland under-17 international soccer squad. Corey spoke about that and his developing soccer career with Finn.
My first question on Northern Ireland 17s, could you describe for us the experience of going over, playing and staying at St. George's Park?
Yeah, it was on a different level than what I was used to, and all the pitches and facilities were top class, like gym, sauna and pool are all on an elite level.
Next thing I'm going to touch on is Finn Harps. How is the difference in standards from the Harps Academy to the senior team?
The standards are high in the academy and the seniors, but it's just moving up the levels, the intensity and the pace of the game increases and you just have to adapt to it and get used to it.
With you being very successful on underage for Gaelic and hurling, how did you manage the workload of being successful in so many sports?
Well, this year I had to go back on the sports I was playing. I was playing hurling, Gaelic club and county, then football, Finn Harps. The workload with the first team in the 20s was 5 days a week, so it was non-stop. So I had to go back, but that's really it. I enjoyed playing as much as I could.
Do you encourage younger children to take up as many sports as possible at the younger age?
100%. At a younger age, from under sixes to minors, it benefits them to play as many sports as possible. And as they get older, other opportunities come up. Let that be with hurling, Gaelic, football. Then some decisions will have to be made. And it's whatever you enjoy most, it's your decision.
You're a wee bit through your career so far with being 16 years of age. The next question is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Play as much sports as I possibly could and try and be successful, but make sure to enjoy it. That's the main thing, that if you don't enjoy it, you won't play well, and that's it.
And with you signing a senior contract with Finn Harps, I suppose, do you have any hopes, dreams and aspirations for the future of your soccer career, or it could be Gaelic or hurling, whichever?
For now, it's just keep getting better and improving and hopefully work my way into the starting team for the first team at Harps and see where that takes me. If it takes me over England or anywhere, it'd be great. And hopefully I get back to the hurling and football. If I could, it'd be great.
With you playing so many sports, this can be Gaelic, hurling or soccer, who is a player you looked up to the most throughout your career so far?
Well, for soccer, I'd say Shea Given, as he's a Donegal man and played at a top level of football. But as like hurling, it would definitely be Joe Canlon. My dad has looked up to my dad because he played hurling and I wanted to be like him. And Joe Canlon, as I loved watching him on TV and in person.
Yeah, and with you being involved with the senior squad and travelling all around Ireland, in your opinion, is the League of Ireland getting enough coverage nationwide?
Yeah, I'd say it is now, as more games are getting televised and there seems to be more interest growing in it. When you see the likes of Damien Duff coming to manage teams, it's a big statement for the league itself, like, and it's a big boost for the whole league.
Are you concerned or excited about the future for Finn Harp seniors on the academy with Darren Murphy leaving and Kevin McHugh recently getting appointed this morning?
No, I'm definitely not concerned. We're in good hands. Murph was a good manager, but we have good coaches in Kevin McHugh, Tommy Cannon and Eamon Curry. The future is definitely bright for Finn Harps, and then you have Russell Porter with the 20s doing great work down there, and you could definitely see him moving up to first team coaching soon enough as well. And with Kevin being appointed, good luck.
Who is the best coach you've played under? I know your dad coached you for a while, you can say him if you want, but who is the best coach you've played under so far in your career?
For the hurling, I would say him, but in terms of soccer, I had good coaches throughout my career at Finn Harps so far, such as Conrad Clark, when he got me in the Harps at the very start and on the 14s. Russell Porter, now Kevin McHugh, Tommy Cannon and Eamon Curry, they've all been good, so I can't really pick one favourite, but I've had great coaches throughout the years.
With the likes of Conor Bradley and Quaven Callagher being, would they have been role models for you growing up, and that'd be great to see for you, like, that there is the future there of possibility of moving abroad for your soccer career?
Yeah, 100% now. Watching, especially Keller, with him being a keeper like myself, it's great to see someone else from Ireland doing it well, and Liverpool's, because I support them too. I love watching them whenever he plays, and Conor Bradley as well, especially him playing Northern Ireland and me being up there. It's great to see players from whereabouts you are, like, seeing that there definitely is an opportunity to get abroad and have a career at it.
When you signed your contract a few weeks ago, what influenced your decision to sign the contract? Would have been the injury crisis and the poor performances? Would that have been a thing that would have indicated you might have got some game time as of yet? I know you haven't got game time as of yet, but hopefully come soon you'd make your debut.
Yeah, hopefully soon I'll make my debut, but it didn't. The injury crisis and the poor performances didn't really affected. I came up from 1 to 14 through the ranks right the way to senior team. So once I got the text, there was no doubt in my mind that's what I definitely wanted to sign the contract.
Finn Harps recently picked up their second win of the season over at Lone Town. How does that boost the morale around the club?
Yeah, we've had a good performances throughout the season, but we just didn't get the results. The last two games we got the results that we needed, and obviously wins gives confidence to players and the team especially, but we can only beat what's in front of us.
That's Finn Harps footballer Corey Sheridan speaking to Finn Dugan as part of Ocean FM's recent TY Media Week. Well, in Gaelic Games, the Women's TG Cahir Connacht Senior Football Championship continues on Saturday evening, with Leitrim hosting Galway in Carrick-on-Shannon at 6 p.m. We're going to bring you that game live online on oceanfm.ie this Saturday. Leitrim, remember, are still a Division 4 team in the National League, but they are senior championship material by virtue of their All-Ireland Intermediate Football title success last August. Well, in their opening senior championship match last Sunday, Leitrim pushed Mayo hard before losing out narrowly in Swinford by 2-11 to 1-11. Manager Johnny Gaverty has taken plenty of encouragement from that display. He's been speaking to our reporter PJ Leddy.
Yeah, there's loads of positives that we will use to fire us going forward. It's disappointing that we didn't get over the line on the day, because it was a game that we had fully targeted to go and win. A game that we believed as a management and the players believed in themselves that we would win. So the performance was really, really good on the day. And, you know, it was a performance worthy of getting the victory. What was missing was maybe a few taking a few of the really good chances we created. But There's nothing but a load of pride in the Gaels and what they done today. So,
and it was a huge difficult game to manage because gale force wind. Mayo had the wind in the first half. It's probably an advantage overall in Gaelic football to have the advantage of the wind in the first half because you can set your stall out and go and try and hold on to what you gain. But nevertheless, at the end, Leitrim had Mayo on the ropes.
Yeah, and you know, whenever they did give themselves something to hold on to, it was difficult to break it down. And we set about doing it at the start of the second half really well, and we were ticking the points over, only to be hit on the sucker punch with a goal. And that was a massive score. You know, their first goal just before half time was a big score. Both goals came at really good times for them. You know, I can't wait to watch the video back and see, but I know that we were slightly open by the second goal because we were going through ourselves with the goal opportunity, and it looked to me like a foul inside the square, and you know, 20 seconds later we had conceded a goal. So it was a really sore one, and it took us a good 10 minutes to get that momentum back up, and you know, we gave ourselves a lot to do with very little time in the end up, and we still very nearly done it. You know, even after we had scored our late goal, we had another goal scoring opportunity to level it that they went the wrong side of the post. So so look, we'll look back on those with a tinge of regret, a tinge of frustration, but at the same time, it can take nothing away from the performance that the Gaels put on today.
Absolutely not. And you have made a huge step up, obviously, from intermediate champions last year to senior football. It's a huge step up. You have a big game against Galway in Avonmony Park, Sean McDermott. It's another big game. But the girls, after today's performance, will win with a chance.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, we know that even from our Division 4 campaign, to go in against the senior team is just an absolutely massive step. You know, all things being even, a Division 4 team wouldn't seek out a challenge game against a senior team if they were preparing for an intermediate or junior championship, because it would be too much. So for us to be coming up against those teams, these best teams in the country, and living with them today, living with them, more than living with them, putting them to the pin of their collar and arguably playing a lot of the better football, it just goes to show you the quality that's in our team. And it's taken us a while this season to get going. You know, we've had a huge turnover of players, and with new players comes an integration process where you're trying to coach the system into them and get their conditioning to the required level for county football, and getting everybody on the one page, you know, old players and existing. And to try to do that under the circumstances of our league campaign, where we had 8 game weeks in a row, that was extremely difficult, and that's why momentum was hard to find. But over the course, even if results didn't always mirror it, I felt there was a progression there. And then with the benefit of a few weeks coming into the championship, I felt that we're in a really good place to you know, to create an ambush today. And I'm delighted with the way we played. I'm delighted with the messaging that the Gaels took on board from our coaching, and just the frustration as we didn't get over the line, and especially frustrating whenever I felt the performance warranted it.
You'll be hopeful on Sunday that Leitrim will again do themselves justice when they take on a highly rated Galway team.
Yeah, it's actually Saturday, that game, so we have a 6-day turnaround, which will be another challenge. But these are the challenges that you want. You know, like we said to the Gaels before they went out here today, that, you know, they'll look back in years to come at 2024 and winning the All-Ireland, and they'll look back on this year and playing senior football, and they'll look back on it as being the best games of their life and the best days in football that they've had. So it's something you have to relish, and we can't wait to get onto the field again. Galway's going to be another step up. They're a phenomenal team, you know, one of the best two or three teams in the country, I think. So it's going to be an absolutely massive challenge for us, but we've nothing to fear. We're worried about ourselves only, and we want to go and reach our potential, and that's the aim.
Muireann Devaney, after a very brave performance against Mayo in this Connacht Senior Championship game here in Swinford, Leitrim came up 3 points short at the end. Perhaps a score that doesn't reflect Mayo's superiority in any way.
No, definitely not. But, you know, super proud of the girls. A wee bit of luck at the green, and, you know, the scoreboard could have been very different.
That's it, yeah. It was a difficult game to play, and Very strong wind in the first half. Mayo got a goal. Leitrim missed quite a few chances. You could have been a little closer at half time.
Yeah, that wind in the first half was outrageous. You know, it was very hard shooting into it, and you know, we missed very close shots that on another given day would have been over 10 times. But you know, very, very proud of the girls. We got our welcome to senior championship football there, and you know, I think we took it like real true sporting players. Like the hard hitting there was something we're not used to, but you know, very proud of how the girls done.
Yeah, it was a very physical game. Perhaps a yellow card, a sin bin, should have been issued. I thought the referee was a little bit lax in his application of the rules.
Yeah, look, we'll not blame anybody for our loss, but he probably didn't do too bad on the day. You know, we weren't probably used to physicality, but I think we played well, and you know, very happy with. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win. Obviously, might sound that I'm happy enough, but we would have loved to come out of here with the win, but unfortunately it's not to be.
Yeah, a win was definitely within your grasp. A great start to the second half, and then against a run of play, Mayo got a goal, and that sort of probably made the mountain too high to climb.
Yeah, I think that goal there, their second goal, was just a killer. You know, we were crawling our way back into it and doing it quite well. You know, we were turning ball over and putting it dead at the other end, and then just bang, they killed us with that goal. And you know, we didn't hang the heads then after that. We did crawl back in again, and unfortunately just ran out of time.
As you said, you didn't hang your heads down. You certainly didn't, because you went on and got a goal after that and brought Leitrim back. I think you were down 8 points. You brought Leitrim back to 3 points. Leitrim put great pressure on the Mayo kick-out, caused all sorts of problems. A great finish by Leitrim.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every single girl there, from everyone that came onto the bench to the Michelle Guckian in goals, you know, wasn't an easy task to get in there in championship football and do what she done. And you know, everybody stood up to the mark and they did it very, very well.
That's right. And you're looking forward to next Sunday in Galway in Avonmony Park, Sean McTiernan, with another big game.
Yeah, absolutely. Galway is probably going to be an even bigger test than that there today. You know, we're aware of that, and we'll train hard over the next week. And look, in true Leitrim style, we'll give it everything we have.
Leitrim's Mirren Devaney, and before that, Johnny Garrity, speaking to PJ Leddy after last weekend's 3-point loss to Mayo. And their next Connacht Championship game at home to Galway this Saturday evening in Carrick-on-Shannon will be live on oceanfm.ie from 6 p.m. Before that, we've got Sligo Rovers against Drogheda United live for you from the showgrounds this Friday night from 7:45. Bottom versus top, in association with Henry's Bar and Restaurant in Cashelgarran. And a reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.